welcome everybody in Johannesburg and London and I think Summit and on the Telethon conference. I think if we look at the period that we operated in over the past while, I think it has been a very difficult operating period. Bernard, can you confirm you guys are connected before I start batting?
We're connected.
Okay. And we have seen a sharp fall off in equity markets. We have continued to see very weak credit markets. We have seen very volatile exchange rates. And strangely enough, during the period, we still had interest rates that had not come down yet. In particular, if you look at LIBOR, if you look at JIBOR increased in South Africa, and the Aussie base rate also had increased relative to the equivalent period of the previous reporting period. So, very difficult operating circumstances. Because we've got a strong base of recurring income, and this is a slide that reflects our recurring income, 74% of our income during this trading period is of a recurring nature. With strong risk and liquidity management right throughout a very, very difficult period, as well as our operational and geographic diversity, and again, this chart reflects the fact that we have diverse revenues and diverse geographical positioning, you get to a point where we believe that we've delivered a very stable and consistent performance with operating profit before tax after minorities, because minorities are very distorting, was down 1.1%, attributable earnings up 3%, adjusted EPS down 3.7%. These are exactly in line with the numbers we gave you, or the indication we gave you when we spoke of our results in 18th of September. And then our dividend, we have taken a decision, and I'll talk about it in a moment, to widen our dividend cover. We believe it's better to conserve capital in this type of environment, and therefore we have widened our dividend cover, and therefore we have cut our dividend as a consequence by 30%, reducing our dividend to 8p. I think the board believed that that was prudent. I know when we were asked a question in September, we had not come to that decision, but I think between September and now, a lot has happened in financial markets, and we have seen significant government support for banks around the world and capital injections by government around the world, and we think that although we have always had high capital ratios, we don't really need that. We believe that we will build up our capital to new capital targets over the next 18 months, and I'll deal with that in a moment. On the customer deposit side, we've had a very stable customer deposits over the trading period, and they increased by 6% to £12.9 billion. And core loans and advances did increase by 13%, and the big reason for that is strong corporate and infrastructural demand in South Africa, where we've seen some international bank withdrawal, leaving the large local banks, including ourselves, obviously having to foot the bill. The pricing for us has been very good in that market, and it is very profitable business, and therefore we've seen that increase in demand. Assets under management up marginally. Obviously, equity markets affect this business. We did have quite good inflows, but equity markets does affect the actual level of assets under management, and that's why we've seen that marginal increase, because we have had a decline in market values. Okay. If we look at our financial objectives, we have revised our capital adequacy targets. We've increased our minimum Tier 1 target from 9 to 11. It used to be 10 under Bar 1. Clearly, 9 was equivalent to 10 under Bar 1. 9 under Bar 2 was equivalent to 10 under Bar 1. We believe that we should get this ratio up above 11 over the next period of time. You can see that most of our operating units have capital adequacy in excess of 10.3, our Tier 1 ratio, except Investec PLC, which is 9.7, and Investec Bank UK 10.4, and Australia is already above the target. So we believe it won't take us long to actually get this number up to the target, and clearly by managing our asset portfolio together with our revised dividend policy, we believe we'll get there within about an 18-month period. So we haven't adjusted our return on equity target. We do say it's through a cycle. You can see that we have been meeting this target over the last 4 years. This year, we're marginally below the target, and I think that is a reflection of higher capital and flat results. Overall, clearly Australia had a very difficult trading period. That market was badly beaten up by what happened in the global conditions. South Africa still has a high return on equity. Obviously, it's the most scale business that we have, and it has lots of non-capital intensive businesses, like our private client business and our asset management businesses. Therefore, because it's a higher scale, it has a very high return on equity. U.K. and Europe down at 13.5%, which is, I think, slightly better than it was in the previous trading period. Our cost-to-income ratio has held up well. I think that's because we have a lot more net interest income. I think we have been quite tight on headcount. You've seen our headcount actually come off during this particular trading period. We will manage our headcount very tightly, and I think that's what we will do in this environment. We'll look out for operational efficiencies and manage our headcount tightly. Our revenue did grow faster than our costs. Revenue grew by 11.8%, cost by 10.1%. If you look at our cost-to-income ratios by geography, again, South Africa being the most scale business has the lowest cost structure. UK at 66.8%, which is within its target range, and Australia above its target range at this point in time because of the weaker performance. Our adjusted EPS growth was minus 3.7%. Our mix of earnings PLC was 35.4% and Investec Limited 64.6%, marginally different from the previous trading period, but not that much, I think about 1.5% different. So basically the geographic spread of revenue was almost the same as it was in the previous trading period. Of interest is our five-year compound annual growth rate in earnings per share is 20.4, which is the number since setting our target, and that is obviously well above our target. It will be difficult to achieve our growth target. This is not a growth environment, as we all understand. It will be difficult to achieve that target over the next while. I think we look at risk. I think what is less understood about Investec is we did adopt standardized approach for Basel II because we didn't have a lot of the back testing data to go advanced, and therefore our risk-weighted assets would be higher than, as a percentage of total assets, higher than a bank that is on advanced. But if you look at our overall level of gearing, our loan-to-capital ratio is only 7, or maybe 7.5, depending on how you calculate it. Our loans-to-deposits is 1.1, and that obviously that depends on region. Our total gearing is 13.4. We exclude the insurance assets in these numbers because they are not our assets. They are there just notionally from an accounting point of view, and we have no risk in those assets. The assets our own are already asset management assets. And then our gearing, if we exclude securitized assets, are 12.2. And you can argue that is the real gearing because of the pool of securitized assets. The bulk of them belong to Kensington, which is like a running down book than a developing book. It's not part of your core activity. If we look at asset quality, I think we have seen a rise in default loans, as one would expect in this environment. We have therefore seen a significant rise in specific impairments. We did say in our trading update that they would be much higher than the equivalent period, but lower than the second half of last year, which is exactly the number that we've got. Obviously, we are well collateralized. All our lending is secured. We believe that our impairments are adequate. Obviously, conditions could worsen, they could get better. We have seen significant intervention by policymakers. We have seen significant rate cuts. And I think those large rate cuts that we've seen both in Australia and in the UK will provide a lot of relief to borrowers going forward. Obviously, the rate cuts only took place the other day, so it will still take time to filter through, but they will provide a lot of relief. As a consequence, our core loans, our percentage defaults as a percent of core loans and advances has gone up to the actual numbers 2.45 from 1.71% for our book right around the world. I think on the liquidity side, we've always had the philosophy of maintaining a lot of surplus cash. We've generally been a provider of liquidity to the interbank market in South Africa, has always been our philosophy. We have concentrated during this very, very difficult period where you've seen, a credit crunch actually witnessed. concentrate on diversifying our funding sources, and have maintained a low reliance on interbank wholesale funding to fund our asset growth. We have seen our liquidity levels operate between £4.5 billion and £6.2 billion right throughout this trading period. And on the private client side, we obviously have implemented a number of initiatives to increase our funding sources, and that's part of our overall strategy, although that will take time to come to effect. But I think we've managed our liquidity pretty well right throughout a very, very difficult environment. Just on the Kensington risks, I think the mortgage assets under management that are not securitized are £1.8 billion. I think that's down from just around £2 billion at the end of September. And securitized assets are £3.5 billion, down from just over £4 billion at the end of March. I think the weighted LTVs based on current house price deflation, and we adjust these LTVs as inflation, as house prices decline. In the warehouse book is 77%, in the securitized portfolio 69%, and we have £700 million of capital in arrears on that overall portfolio, which has ticked up since March, but as the book gets more seasoned, because we're not writing new business, we do expect that ratio to tick up. The debt-to-income ratio of our clients is 24% and 26% in the case of the securitized portfolio, and the book is performing in accordance with expectations, and we are managing it quite well. And we have not seen any significant change in that, notwithstanding difficult economic conditions. I think if you look at our exposure to warehouse lines, it's £189 million. We have a provision of 43 against that. And our exposure to the securitized portfolio is 172, and we have a provision of £59 million against that. We have some direct funding where we carry the assets on our balance sheet, which are not part of the warehouse lines, or, which are 68% LTV. So that's really the same picture that we've given you in the past. On the risk side of Kensington, I'll talk about the revenue side later on when I talk about capital markets. Again, US structured credit investments. Our subprime residual exposure is now £6 million. And our net exposure is £63 million. We did have some write-offs on mark-to-market in this particular period, not all on the subprime, but also on CLOs, as you've seen some movement in price on that front. And that our net write-offs during the period were £8 million against £49 million for the full year March, and £36 for the period ended September 07. So I think the problem of this book is now by and large dealt with. I think if we look at our operational review, this wave chart gives you a flavour of the diversity of revenue from different sources. Obviously, not all divisions bat well at the same time. Like any kind of cricket team, you have some guys coming in and some guys battling a bit, and I think that this slide does reflect the different seasons and the fact that we have revenue diversity that enables us to produce flat results in very, very difficult times. So I think this still holds, and we've seen obviously capital markets come in much stronger because it didn't have the write-offs of the previous year. The private client business come in affected by greater degree of impairments over this particular trading period, which is what one would expect in a very difficult economic environment. I think if we look at the private client portfolio management business, this is obviously a combination of Rensburg Shepherd and Investec Securities in South Africa. I think the business in South Africa has been affected by lower market volumes and lack of performance fees on some of its investment products, and therefore we've seen a decline in earnings of about 8.6%. In sterling and rand, the decline would be a bit less. Cost-to-income ratio is still at acceptable levels. I think it's a business that has good scale, and ROE still particularly strong. I think funds under management in sterling are flat, but the rand did appreciate against sterling on the balance sheet date. So we did see funds under management drop off by 8%, but that is really the market having dropped off, and I think the market dropped off by a much bigger number than that. I can't remember the number, I had it on the first slide. So overall, I think the conditions for this type of business will remain challenging. I think our business is more defensive in that we have a lot of what you call discretionary funds under management, and I think that could partially offset the lower brokerage that we would experience in a quieter market. So you expect this kind of business to be affected by the current conditions. The private bank at an operational level had earnings up 9.9%, but operating profit down 26%, and that is a consequence of the pickup in impairments across all three geographies. And I think that's something that one will live with over the next while. We think that our books are well managed and that we're able to deal with impairments effectively. And we also often, you see, sometimes we get recoveries because maybe we've been overzealous on our provisioning. But certainly it is a tough environment, and we do expect a continuation of impairments at some level over this next while. The South African business still levels of activity held up. I think they're going to drop off quite a lot now, and as economic conditions start to slow down in South Africa, I think the UK and Australia have experienced lower levels of activity, but also, I guess, lower levels of competition. You can write a lot of business if you're not careful in this environment, and you don't really want to write a lot of business because there is a shortage of available credit out there. So we will likewise be very vociferous on our pricing and tough on our so-called LTVs in whatever asset we're financing, which we have been for quite a while. So we did see loan book growth. I think, again, a lot of that would have been in South Africa and the exchange rate, but it did grow. You know, we also have a pipeline to deal with. We'll expect that to be flatter going forward. And then we did see some deposit book growth, mainly in South Africa, and we saw some fall off in deposits in other parts of the world as those economies did feel the heat, which is what we told you in around about September, but not dramatic. It was fairly, and it has stabilized quite significantly, I would say, since the middle of October. So funds under advice affected by market conditions, really. Equity values are down, therefore funds under advice would go down with equity values going down. So I think if we have an outlook for the private bank, market conditions will and have affected impairments and activity levels. The cost base is being aligned accordingly, and in the UK and Australia, we still see diversification strategy supporting lower but stable operating income, and we will continue to focus on opportunistic deals that result from distressed markets, and there are lots of them out there. I think in South Africa, I don't believe that we have positive macro fundamentals. We probably have more positive than outside of South Africa, but because we have infrastructural spending, and I don't think South Africa will dip down as far as the other markets, but we do believe that there's a reasonable level of sustainability. I think in capital markets, our advisory and structuring activities continue to perform well. Obviously, the results are impacted by the fact that we don't have the write-offs, and Kensington falls into these results, and we had Kensington for a full year, and that would have helped these results. But nevertheless, I think the business still did well in the advisory and structuring area and in the trading areas. We did have a stable performance from Kensington. Australia was impacted by some negative mark-to-market valuations of the so-called embedded derivatives as equity markets collapsed, and they, you know, every time they make a loan in a particular space, they sometimes get an embedded derivative, and those things can fluctuate. So we did see the loan book grow by 14.8%, and as I said to you, that was primarily in South Africa in the corporate space, where we have seen a lot of demand for credit. So I think the outlook for this particular business, I think you have seen a slowdown in deal volume, but there are a lot of opportunistic transactions that are out there. I think clearly the markets are uncertain, but uncertain markets do present a lot of opportunities. Performance will depend on liquidity and stability returning to markets, and I think you know, it is quite, we do have a very strong platform in South Africa and a very good developing platform in the UK. Australia is still below scale, and that will impact it in the, over the next while. If we look at Kensington specifically, I think it's important again that we highlight this because people do not understand it. We had total income of £73 million in the trading period. We had expenses of 25. Now, we have seen our expenses come down, but they will come down further because we have had redundancies in the earlier part of the year and still have to pick up the redundancy costs. So we will expect these expenses to come down quite significantly over the next while. And that gives us operating income of about £48 million. Impairment losses specifically were £28 million, and that left £19 million of operating profit. So if we get our expenses down by another, say, £10 million, which is what we expect to do, you can see that there is a big buffer for bad debts over and above the provision. And what people forget about is that there's quite a big, what we call, excess spread in the securitized portfolio that generates our net interest income, and therefore we have a big buffer to deal with potential losses to the extent that they arise. And that's the experience that we've had. We did give you an update in 18th of September about how we provision for Kensington in terms of house price deflation. And we said that from calendar year, beginning of this calendar year, we had 15% for this calendar year, 10% for the next calendar year, and a further 10% crash factor for someone that goes into default, which is, you know, probably in line with market expectations or maybe slightly harsher than market average market expectations. I think if we look at the investment bank, we did have a mixed performance across all the geographies. I think the investment bank results can be distorted by two investments that we have to consolidate. One of those investments is doing pretty well and in line with expectations, although it is still loss-making. We're consolidating losses into our accounts, but it is achieving more than its objectives. And the other is in a margin squeeze, and therefore we had losses in this particular period from profits in the previous period. If we look at the operating profit excluding those two investments, it was down 7.4%. The agency and advisory business was down 9.7%. Now, that was very low levels of activity in Australia, very lower levels of activity in South Africa, and a good performance from our London business in this particular period on the agency and advisory side. So I think that business has held up well. I think what we are seeing is that there is a reduction in competition. Many of our peer groups who were in this game have either closed shop or no longer there, and that leaves, you know, a much less competitive market to us in our particular niche space in the UK. On the principal investment side, we were down 5.5%. I think we had a steady performance in South Africa. We had quite big dividends from some of our investments, and we also had some markdowns to reflect market conditions. But overall, the bulk of this income that we got from principal investments is in the form of dividends and is therefore realized. I think the investments that we consolidate, we lost £9.2 million on net of minorities and against a profit of 4.3 in the previous year. So overall, that the investment bank's results therefore dropped by 36%. Cost to income ratio 64%. And the ROE pretty low because of the fact that those consolidated investments we haircut from a capital point of view. So as if the investment is worth zero. So if we had to just sell those two investments and get our cash back, we would bolster our Tier 1 ratio in the UK very close to the 11% that we're talking about. So it is harshly treated, but that's a regulatory treatment of that type of asset. I think the outlook is obviously continual focus on diversifying earning streams. I think, as I said, we believe that the competitive landscape after the storm, and I think the eye of the storm has passed, will be a lot lower than it was up to now. I think there is a core level of sustainable earnings that enable us to generate decent profits through varying cycles, and our ability to outperform will depend on market conditions and taking advantage of opportunities. And I think that, you know, this is a volatile business as we've seen historically, and we always expect it to be volatile, but it is a business where we've historically done well over the years and through the cycles, and I think the opportunities are probably coming in the next cycle. Our asset management business held up particularly well. Its earnings were down 7%, and that would have been impacted by weaker equity markets and a tougher mutual fund environment, as you see withdrawals from mutual funds. We did, as we told you at the trading update, receive solid net inflows from in the institutional space, which I think supported the business. And we have seen a shift in the mix of funds, mainly in the institutional portfolio. However, this kind of business will have a weaker performance when markets are particularly weak. Although this business is a very good business and has received many accolades over the last while, including Hendrik Tatoi being runner-up CEO of an asset management business, I don't know by who, but by quite a prominent journal, behind the guy from BlackRock, which I think is a significant achievement. I think the ROE held up quite well at 43%, the cost-to-income ratio. This is a higher-cost type business, and you will always have a higher cost-to-income ratio than you would have in a banking business where you have financial leverage. So assets under management basically up 3.1%. Some of that would be the rand, but some of that would also be the fact that we did have good institutional inflows during this trading period. I think the outlook, what we've experienced over the last while will impact on our assets under management, sales and revenue in the short to medium term. I think there is investor uncertainty, and that means that the flows that we experienced in the first half will be difficult to repeat. I think our long-term performance has been very good, but the mutual funds flows have weakened in this particular environment. But I think this is a business that has a very good platform and has opportunity to grow, because I think its competitors have been worsely affected by the environment. We did have a stable performance in our property group. It was marginally down in the previous year. And I think we did benefit from the fact that we had some projects that were in the pipeline last year that were completed in this year and received quite good fees. We did have a reasonable performance from our investment portfolio, which is mainly in South Africa. I think there's a lot of opportunity for us within that investment portfolio. As we said to you previously, we bought that pretty well. You can't build new buildings today. It costs you about double what it costs for an existing building. And these are, you know, older buildings that we have a skill to refurb. We think that we can still do reasonably okay in that particular space, because we're carrying them at very moderate values. I think the outlook is negative in the short term because of the property fundamental that we're seeing. I mean, we're not buying anything at the moment. We're just dealing with our stock and our pipeline and fixing things up, because I think that's really where the opportunities are. I think there will come a time when there will be very distressed opportunities for our group, but at the moment we're standing back. We know that new developments are just not viable because it costs too much money to put them up because of commodity inflation. That may start coming down now, we don't know, but we obviously have seen commodity prices collapse, but developments are still very expensive to put back up there. I think in the UK we have a fund which has got €375 million to invest. We've only invested 75, so I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity for our fund there. And likewise in Australia, I think about a third of this or half of it is probably invested of €116 million. It's still small, but there is going to be a lot of opportunity for us to invest that money over the next while. I think group services, if you look at overall, international trade finance continue to do quite well. Assurance activities made a slight loss, and we've still got a tail of traded endowments, which is a business that we've closed, but we deal with a tail and it generates a bit of revenue because we probably wrote it down too far historically. In central funding, we had a big jump in central funding, and I think we told you this before. The key reasons for that was the fact that we have a high retention of profits, mainly in South Africa last year with the sale of Growthpoint and our retained earnings, and then you have high interest rates, and therefore we're earning a lot more money on our surplus cash that we haven't allocated to any of the divisions. So central costs have remained flat, up 3.7%, giving you an overall increase of 121% in our central funding line. I think our tax rate is down to 23.8%. There are two key reasons for that. One is the fact that we did have a tax reduction in South Africa, And the other reason is that some of our income is subject to capital gains tax, or some of our income is in the form of dividends, which is tax-free. So that's why the rate is slightly lower than we originally anticipated and where it was last year's time. I think the losses attributable to minorities, these are very confusing accounting phenomena. I think the one is the private equity we consolidate, but we only own about 40%, and therefore the rest has to come out of the minority line for the investment bank reserves. We have netted that off. And then we have these preference shares that we've issued that were in euros that we hedged back into pounds. Depending on what happens to the pound sterling rate, the one comes into the operating line, the other comes into the minority line. In our absolute number, we've eliminated both of these things because they just make havoc with the numbers. But those are the facts. When you look at the top-down income statement, you'll see this minority thing, and that's an explanation of it. Last year, it was a profit because it just depends where life goes. So I think if we look at outlook, I think clearly equity markets have deteriorated further. I mean, we've seen the FTSE come down 19% since September. The Aussie come down 15%, and the JSE come down 14% since September. I mean, they've come down more, but they've since had a bounce. And, you know, we don't know which way this thing is going. One would believe that it's bottoming out, but one can't tell yet. There has been a lot of policy intervention, as we said earlier, and that has to start having a bottoming out effect as the global system actually deleverages. Interest rates, you've seen South Africa, the governor hasn't cut rates yet and hasn't even alluded to cutting rates, although, you know, I think that day is coming quite soon. But we have seen very strong policy action in the UK with a 200-point cut, which is massive in the context of that environment. You've seen LIBOR now come down from 630 to 450. Obviously, the whole cut hasn't yet been absorbed in LIBOR, but still, it's a big shift. You've seen the Aussie base rate come down from 7.34 to 5. That is massive. You've seen JIBOR up slightly. So, you know, I think the market's still not expecting a cut, but I can't see that we'll hold out and keep our interest rates where they are when the world is falling off a cliff. So I think this is going to have some positive impact on the global economy, but it takes time to filter through, and I think that's what we can experience. I think you've got to understand what we are. I think we are a specialist bank. We're not an investment bank. We've never had an investment, pure investment banking model. I think we have to repeat this 1,000 times. We've always been regulated as a bank. Right around the world, and so we behave as a bank, although we have an investment banking unit that does investment banking type transactions. So I think I just need to make that point 1,000 times. Our current focus is on moderating our loan growth and shifting our emphasis to increasing the proportion of non-lending revenue, and I think that has been our philosophy for a while, certainly over the last 6 months, and hopefully we'll be able to implement on that philosophy as we move forward. I think it's maintaining credit quality, as we know every single line of our loan portfolios and everyone that has difficulty and everyone that doesn't have difficulty, and we onto it every single day of our lives. We always have been as an organization, and hopefully we'll be able to manage through a very tough period with moderate impairments, although we're still expecting payments. We continue to manage our risk and our liquidity very strictly, and that has always been our philosophy, and I think that has held us in quite good stead in very tough markets. I think clearly on the cost side, creating additional operating efficiencies in this environment is key, as well as containing costs is key, and that's an important step for us. And you know, we have a natural rate of attrition, and as you've seen, without any trauma, we've managed to bring our headcount down over the last while, as we haven't hired as much as we've lost. And I think it's again about building depth and breadth. I think we learned last time in the tough markets that you go too wide, you have too many non-scale businesses, and therefore it becomes tough to manage those non-scale businesses. We narrowed our focus a lot in 2002-2003 after the downturn in equity markets, and I think that as a consequence, you know, we go into this difficult period with a much lower cost to income ratio and much more recurring revenue. So our game is to continue to try and generate high quality revenue through our diversified and sustainable revenue streams. I think if we look at our model, this, our mix of revenue was 57% from net interest and principal activity, 43% from third-party assets under management. You've seen since 2004, which is 5 periods ago, but 4 years ago, we built our risk side of our business up quite a lot because of we built our books and our net interest income because we were, as an organization, below scale. We think that now we have an adequate size in that space, and it's for us to build the third-party assets and advisory and narrow this gap, this 311 to 412, over the next period of time. And that will be our core focus over the next while. I think our outlook, I think activity levels are lower, and we expect them to remain low for a while. That doesn't mean to say that there are no opportunities. I think that could impact on revenue generation. We don't know. It depends on how markets respond. You know, markets can start recovering and life can start normalizing, although I think it will take longer than that to achieve it. I think we have had strong policymakers' response. I might have mentioned to you guys before, I don't know where I've mentioned, when I was at the World Economic Forum, they had a list of what are the biggest threats to the global economy, and there were 1,000 people, CEOs, heads of non-governmental organizations, leading government officials, and about two-thirds of the people said policymakers' response. Now, fortunately, we have seen strong policymakers' response, although perhaps it took them up until early October to wake up to the fact that this was a systemic issue and not a single institutional issue. I think now that they've responded, you could see some move. You could see some positive shift, although it will take time to get there. We do have a high level of recurring income that does support sustainability, albeit at lower levels. I think for us as an organization, and by focusing on our core strengths and applying our strategy as we've attempted to articulate, we're ready to take advantage of selective opportunities and at the same time address the significant challenges that come from this type of environment. So I think that gives you an overview of these results. As I said to you, we believe that they are a good set of results in a difficult environment, and hopefully we can continue on that path. Thank you. I think we now have question time. I've got to ask Joburg first. You see what we've got there in the back.
Hi, it's Oliver Chaffin, Standard Chartered Bank. There's been a lot of debate around the UK bank bailout scheme and guarantee package for banks.
Yeah.
I was just wondering to what extent Investec UK will be able to benefit from this.
Okay, I'll give you the answer. We have established that we are an eligible UK institution to apply for medium-term funding guarantees under the UK Treasury scheme. It's also our understanding that our Tier 1, as it currently stands, is entirely adequate for access to medium-term guarantees and that we do not require any additional capital to participate. Okay. More questions?
The cost of Dave earlier tomorrow as the
yeah.
Management.
How's it, Dave?
A little bit early on, you said you're going to talk about the dividend cover. Would you like to just expand upon that a bit?
I thought I spoke about it, but anyway, I'll expand upon it. I think that what we've done is, in these times, I think it's appropriate for a institution to, you know, conserve its capital, because you've seen that in when banks have gone to their shareholders for capital, they haven't been given the capital, or they've had to give it away at a hell of a discount. Now, we, as we said, we don't believe we need more capital. We can build up our capital to our new ratios, which are still quite high relative to where they were historically and relative to other institutions. And, you know, we think we can build it up internally. So rather conserve a bit than actually pay everything out, because we've seen in this environment when you guys as shareholders always said, give us buyback shares, give us cash back. And thank God we didn't do that, because when you go and ask for that, they think you've got a problem or you've got a big hole that you're trying to fill. Now, not everyone's got a hole. Yes, some of us have got holes, but not everyone's got a hole. And we've had no holes to fill. Yes, we've got impairments, but we haven't got holes. So I think that's really the answer. We learn. You know, when the umbrella's there, when it's raining, you don't need an umbrella. I mean, that's when you need an umbrella, when it's raining. But that's when they take it away from you. So we don't have to want to get in that position. So we'll just pay you out a little bit less. Sorry, Louis. Now you asked me the question last time, but I did say it was in a different environment.
Know that you wouldn't cut, so I'm licking my wounds.
So I apologize, Louis.
Stephen.
Yeah. I'm still in Joburg, am I? Is Michael?
Yeah, Stephen, can you just perhaps chat to what's happening to your net interest margins? Obviously, potentially having to pay up quite a bit for wholesale funding at the moment, and maybe we haven't seen the full impact of that yet. And also, just looking at the growth in your development, property development lending in the UK, that was a little bit unexpected. I mean, we might have assumed that you were pulling your horns in a bit there. Can you maybe just chat to how you see advances growth going forward? You've kind of alluded to potentially that going backwards over the next 18 months as part of your means of improving your capital ratios.
Yeah, it's also you've got assets that that have full haircuts, so you know it's dealing with those. It's not only about advances, but just to answer your first question, I think what we did early on to the unhappiness of our frontline people was push rates up on the lending side early on in the cycle. And everyone thought, well, what, Investec's not lending, Investec's gone mad. And that was the feedback that we were getting. But we did take that step early on. And therefore, I think that in some of our space, we're actually getting better margin than we were, notwithstanding the fact that cost of wholesale money has gone up. And I think one thinks that one can defend that margin. Every time a new rollover comes, you know, we'll reprice. Again, much to the upset of our frontline people who have to explain this to a client which doesn't quite understand that this is what's happened out there in life. But what happens often is the client says, no, we're going somewhere else, and they come back. So we think that is now filtered through to the whole system, whereas at the beginning, we were early because we saw what happened in the UK, and people didn't accept it that quickly here. They were shouting war cries and what's the matter with you and all those kinds of things. Now, that's calmed down. So I think that's how we've managed to protect our margin to some extent. I think the second question is that even though one slows down, you've got a pipeline and you have obligations to meet, and you meet the obligations and you help people through the cycle as opposed to just being shooting from the hip. And I think that's why you still saw an uptick, but I think it'll flatten to start going down now in some of our jurisdictions, although I think that you might still see growth here in the corporate side because there is quite a lot of demand and you know the agenda for infrastructural development, etc. More questions here? Mark?
Thank you, Mike Brown. In some press reports on retirement fund products, you know, that came out of the old Fed Shore. Stable, and have you had to make any provisions or look at putting any capital providing against possible liabilities in this regard?
Are you talking about this court case? Well, firstly, we're fully insured, so we haven't needed to make any provisions because we're fully covered by, you know, a proper international syndicate. So we haven't needed to make any provisions. And secondly, we don't believe that we have any obligation. So I think there's, you know, you read in the press, and I guess that there's a reality to what is being, you know, there's the press and then there's the reality. So I think the reality is that we are fully insured, and we don't need to make any provisions. And we have some provisions to cover legal costs, which is what we have made. I mean, you know, on that particular case, what people forget is that we stuck in R1.5 billion originally to bail Fetcher out, and that's why they actually are getting, they got their guarantees. So what they lost was growth on the guarantees, which is what the big fuss is about. But or some growth, not all the growth. But anyway, it's not for us to have that argument here, but I think that's the reality for us. More questions? Finish questions in Jarvis? Okay. I thought I saw Willem. I can see him. Okay. Not, you live nearer now, Willem. You don't have to It's not a far walk, eh? Okay, London Auditorium.
Thank you. It's James Hamilton from Numis Securities. Are you planning on heavily restricting your loan book, particularly in the UK, where residential property is still above the valuation it was at the peak of the 89 boom relative to household income? And if you are going to heavily restrict risk-weighted assets in your book as a whole, and the dividend has been cut, clearly it looks like you'll quite quickly exceed the capital target you've got. Do you think there are any sort of, if albeit modest, additions to your portfolio you could make in fee-generating businesses like asset management and wealth management?
Yeah, I think you've got to understand that a lot of our residential book is a running down book, not a building up book, and so it is naturally going to come down as we collect that book, because it was built off the securitization model, and the securitization model just doesn't work. So that book, we're not originating new loans because we're going to run them down. So I think in effect you will automatically see a drop off in that loan portfolio. Lending to our clients in the ordinary course, I think there will be a lot of opportunities for us which we will hopefully take advantage of. So I think you've got two factors. One is we'll look after our clients. The other is that residential mortgage book you will see naturally decline. It declined by £600 million in the last half year. And I think that it will continue to decline, albeit at a slower rate, because until there's new lending available in the system, people will hold on to those loans longer. I think, we obviously tapped into the fact that we will get up to that new target quite quickly, and part of what you say is on the button. I think that on the wealth management side and the asset management side, you're in for a toughish season over the next while, but I think we are quite well positioned to take advantage of a restructuring industry, which I think we're going to see. More questions?
No, I think that's all.
Okay, we go to the telephone conference. I don't know if there's anyone, because Willem is here. Anybody on the telephone conference?
We have Lionel.
Lionel. You.
Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Leonard Tegelu from Inside. I've got a question regarding Kensington. The assets under management, the mortgages, went down by 700 million over the half. So I wanted to know how you managed to reduce that. That's my first question.
I think the answer to that is that there is a natural movement, because these were not long-dated mortgages in the first instance. So there is a natural movement in those mortgages, and people naturally move home, they change jobs, they move city, and therefore they have to settle their mortgages. So there is a natural movement in those mortgages that you will have over a period of time. These were short-dated mortgages.
Okay. So the second question is, of this balance of 5.4 billion, how much of that would have to revert to some sort of standard variable rate, as opposed to maybe teaser rates, which were offered at the outset of the mortgage?
Yeah, I think very little would be left on teaser rates, because there's some stuff that was perhaps written before last year that would still be on teaser rates. But most of them, there would be some on fixed rates. About 40 to 50% of the book would be on a variable rate.
Okay. And then the other thing as well is, at the same time as the balance is reduced quite sharply, your exposure in terms of capital exposure to the portfolio has gone up before your provisions by 27 million. Could you explain the mechanism of this increase in the view of the reduction of the overall balances, and how bad it could go?
Yeah, in some of our warehouse funding lines, we have if arrears go beyond a point, then we have to stick in more capital, but that there is a floor of an 80% or 80-something percent advance rate in those, 80 to 85% advance rate. So it you know, can't go on forever.
Okay. And the other thing regarding the funding, I'm picking up on the question before about the UK bailout scheme. Would you plan to make some issue of guaranteed debt at this stage?
I think the first thing is just to, you know, get our eligibility sorted out, which I've given you an answer on, and then we'll have to see what circumstances are out there to see whether we do that or not.
How long will it take for the eligibility to be sorted out?
Well, we know that we're eligible. This is a process, not an event.
Okay. All right. And in terms of the recent downgrade by Fitch to BBB flat, UK, and probably BBB- at Investec PLC. What does it mean in terms of your deposits if you were downgraded?
I think there has been no impact on our deposits. Nothing.
Okay, and what scheme are your deposits benefiting from in terms of guarantees?
I don't understand your question. I gave you the answer on the guarantee scheme.
Is your funding coming from the UK or offshore?
Our funding comes from all the jurisdictions in which we operate within. So our funding is diverse.
In the UK?
Now, some countries have guarantee schemes, some countries don't.
Mm-hmm. What about the deposit in the UK for the UK institution?
The normal UK guarantee scheme applies to our deposit base.
Okay, even if those deposits are coming from offshore?
I can't answer that question. I'm just saying the normal UK guarantee scheme applies to our whole deposit base in the UK.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Any more on the telephone?
Yes, there is another one. Damien?
Yes, good morning. Two questions, please. The first one, do you have any significant refinancing needs in the next, say, 12 months or so? I'm thinking about the UK operation specifically. And my second question is on deposits in the UK. Can you please give us a bit of color on how deposits are moving up or down in the last few weeks, knowing that there's been a lot of competition to raise deposits over here? Thank you.
Yeah, deposits have been stable over the last while. I think in the first 2 weeks of October, banks around the world felt their deposits declined, but they have been stable since then. So I don't know what your other question was, sorry.
Sorry, the other question was on refinancing needs in the UK. Any plan or any need to raise debt in wholesale markets in the next 12 months?
We've never been active in wholesale markets. So, you know, we have some bilateral arrangements with certain banks that we've built up relationships over the last 15 years. We have never accessed, other than sub-debt and innovative capital and that stuff, which has got a long, long time to run.
Right, and at the Kensington level, my understanding is that the existing book is fully funded.
Yes.
Right, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
We have no further questions.
Okay. Lucky. Back in Johannesburg. Any more questions? Okay, well, that took full hour. I think there's some tea and stuff for you, and thank you, London. Thank you for telephone, Lionel and the other fella. Look after yourself. Thank you.